Every once in a while, a product comes along that changes everything. And that product is Aura.
Aura is an easy-to-use app that includes everything families need to protect their identities, money, passwords, devices, and more. It's really easy to set up and has everything you need, so you don't have to download 7 separate apps to get things like parental controls, antivirus, ID theft, and transaction monitoring, and more. You get everything at one affordable price.
What makes Aura different, you say? It's simple to set up. It protects against today's and tomorrow's threats, and with parental controls to let your kids explore the internet safely. Filter harmful sites, apps, and manage screen time easily. Online safety for today's digital safety. It's tech that grows with you and your family.
Browse safely, surf smartly. Aura comes packed with all the tools you need to protect you and your family from the online threats you can't see.
Our listeners will get a 14-day free trial of Aura for individuals, couples, or their family by going to aura.com/potential. That's Aura, spelled aura.com/potential.
Once again, get your first 14-day free trial of Aura by going to aura.com/potential. Protect what's important. Proactive protection for your assets, identity, family, and tech across every device. And remember, know your potential.
Potential Podcast.
Reviewing the latest in movies, TV series, video games, books, and more. This is Potential Picks.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Potential Picks. I'm your host, Chris Dewar. I'm joined by my co-host and fellow Monarch scientist, Taylor Sokol. Today we're reviewing the latest entry in the MonsterVerse franchise, Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire. This was directed by Adam Wingard, with a screenplay by Terry Rossio, Simon Barrett, and Jeremy Slater. So this is a direct follow-up to Godzilla vs. Kong. That film came out just in 2021. It was one of the first films that year that Warner Brothers was doing this direct to what was then called HBO Max, now Max. But that film, you know, did pretty well. And again, we've had these kind of film, you know, we had Godzilla, you had the Kong Skull Island film, you had Godzilla King of the Monsters and Godzilla vs. Kong. And now we're having them kind of having to tag team some new enemies. Very excited for this film. We're reviewing this after the first weekend. We'll talk about box office in a little bit, but it's definitely smashing records for this thing. And you know, what's recently we had Godzilla Minus One. That was more of the kind of giving us a kind of interesting story with the characters and stuff. This is just dumb fun, and we're gonna talk all about it. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, there will be some spoilers.
Spoiler warning.
There it is. It was actually just Godzilla and Kong going. So Taylor, give us a brief synopsis of Godzilla, X Kong, The New Empire, and then let's get to it.
So in the film, Kong is kind of going on this quest to find others like him, as he, you know, believes he's the only one. He encounters more of his own species deeper into Hollow Earth. And as he meets other Kong species like him, he realizes that he has to fight a new worthy adversary, and he has to unite with his nemesis Godzilla to stop this leader and a more powerful frost-breathing titan from destroying the surface world. So yeah, at the trailers, it was so funny. You think about people critiquing films. The biggest critique when this trailer came out was, why is Godzilla pink? I'm like, really? It's 2024. He can be whatever color he wants to be, okay?
Who cares?
It's so stupid. But seeing the trailer, I was like, this looks intense. First, we're going to have... And the fact that we did get a little bit of, like, my enemy is my friend in Godzilla versus Kong, where they fought Mechagodzilla. The fact that they would team up again... looked like in this, I was like, that's pretty cool, because they have this kind of interesting adversarial relationship, and the fact that we're exploring more of the Hollow Earth, as we got to experience that in the previous film and this, and also our review this week. We talked about I talked about Monarch and how that kind of delved more into Hollow Earth. So I was excited because this was a lot of it was more into the lore, where I think that this shines in terms of other films, because you balance the fine line between it's a monster film, okay, part of the Monsterverse, but you have to have sort of the human element to add the kind of the exposition of what's going on. I thought they did a good job of balancing, like, we're here for the monster stuff. We just get a good amount of exposition. And they were smart that they don't have too many characters that you have to focus on. And I think that's sometimes where some of these films kind of fail, is like, we don't care about a million of these characters. But we do get some returning actors and actresses, Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry. We also get Dan Stevens coming in here for more comedy element. And I was really, really impressed with this film. I thought the pacing was really good. I thought, you know, the great thing also about this film is too, you don't really, I think with all these films, you don't really have to see all the other films to appreciate what this film is. You like, they give you enough exposition and enough stuff that you're like, okay, I can jump right into this full throttle. And I got to tell you, these effects were amazing. I thought, wow, like, this is where, again, CGI continues to blow my mind, is when you put the right budget and the right team together, it produces just amazing stuff.
Yeah, if you're going to see this film for Titan action, you're going to get it. This definitely has the most of all the MonsterVerse films so far, in terms of action and just battle scenes. But they were smart to kind of balance it with only so many humans, because the biggest complaint, minus the first Godzilla film, which I still hold to be one of the best of the bunch. Mm-hmm. Yes, it doesn't have a lot of Godzilla, but that was the point of the film. I think it has more of a kind of eerie horror take with some, like, just really great visuals that I think Gareth Edwards did really well with that first film, and that's why I'm excited to see him now. He's going to tackle a Jurassic Park film. That's going to be very interesting to see what he does with that. Maybe taking a little less of blockbuster and go a little more with kind of his style. But the complaint's been with most of the films is there's too much of this human stuff, and the human storylines are usually really dumb, or we don't care about the characters. We just want to see Godzilla and Kong. So yes, they did very well with this film to have enough, but not rely on it too much. And actually something I was really respected of Wingard in this, his direction, is there's a lot of scenes in this film where it's just the monsters themselves, and we have no English. There's no, you know, Kong doesn't talk.
And I was worried too. And I was worried too, like, are they going to do like some weird subtitle that we have to like,
All of a sudden there's a language they know. No, there's just these drawn out scenes between different creatures and, you know, between different grunts and of course yells and screams and other things. We get what the storyline is going.
Yeah.
And I actually was like, they could do a full movie with these characters and have no dialogue, and I'm sure people would still really enjoy it.
Well, especially this tribe of people that we get to meet in this film. They're, you know, the fact that they say that they're basically telepathic, but they still, there's no like, I'm hearing your thoughts. It's all just body language, and I would even love to have with that story. Again, maybe more because we talk about the history of these Titans that they've been around for, you know, since the dawn of Earth. And even before that, you know, I would love to see more prequel. And you're like, you're right. I would love to see a film where we don't even have any, we don't need any dialogue. It's just like, just, and that was a great thing of to see finally a monster film that we can really kind of get behind. And where you see like, this is the balance of the human element and the monster element. How do you do that? Adam did a fantastic job.
This is a lot of it takes place in Hollow Earth, which was introduced in the last film. And you could actually do full films in just Hollow Earth. I mean, that really could be its own thing. It is a great setup, though. They have this whole kind of setup of, like, you know, after the fall of Mechagodzilla, a couple years have passed. Godzilla himself is like the protector of the surface world. So if any threats come, Titan wise, he does his thing and protects, you know, the Earth from those threats. In Hollow Earth, that's where Kong is. That's his domain. So he's taking out threats in Hollow Earth. But if the two of them were to cross, territories crossing, that could lead to fighting. So it was actually smart to be like, okay, Godzilla, he's on the surface world, Kong's down here. And then once a threat emerges that is so, it's too much for just one of these, then, you know, having to, or I guess I have to cross the border to try to, you know, get my boy, which leads to some great scenes. Now, of course, Kong really is the star of this film. They give the most screen time to King Kong here. And what I've loved in the evolution of Kong is that he's very strong and he's very able and he's a good fighter, but like he does have this sweet side to him, which is kind of a thing with Kong and all the iterations of King Kong, is there is that kind of almost like old romantic side of him where like he's not really out to like destroy. Godzilla, on the other hand, in the past, in most of the films, that's kind of the whole thing, is that he just goes out and destroys things. He has his little angry side. Kong in this, he's obviously very sad. He's still looking for, there has to be someone that's like, you know, his tribe or other apes like him. And even at times he hears, you know, noises in Hollow Earth and comes out at some other creature that makes a noise. It's like a frog that like when it, you know, does its big old bloop, it yeah. sounds like a Kong scream. And I like that in this film, he has a big old toothache, and you see that one of his teeth are actually pretty messed up. And that's where it like led to, I thought it was like a great, it was very 80s cheesy, but Dan Stevens' character of Trapper, he's a vet basically for Titans. That's like his job. So he comes in on this like carrier thing, straight out of like Dune basically.
Yeah.
And blasting this 80s song, and his whole job is he comes in to like help Titans who are like injured, and he gives this like metal tooth to Kong. It was a great sequence, just him.
Yeah, he's like a crocodile. He's a cross between Crocodile Dundee,
Dundee,
Steve Irwin, and Ace Ventura, basically.
In Ace Ventura, yeah, it was brilliant. And then you know you got Brian Tyree Henry back, who, you know, his whole storyline from the Godzilla versus Kong, that he's, you know, had this kind of secret podcast and he's been researching about these for years, and you know, he's brought on because essentially the young girl from Godzilla versus Kong is having these weird like visions where she sees these three kind of signals that look like three triangles, one that is bigger than the other two. And Rebecca Hall is back, who kind of adopted her after the battle, realizes that maybe there's something going on perhaps in Hollow Earth that is calling to her.
Yeah.
There's some kind of signal that's reaching out to her. And she's like, well, I got to use anyone I can. And so almost begrudgingly, she does have Brian Tyree Henry's character come along because he knows about this stuff. He studied this stuff. He has. So him and Dan Stevens together were very fun. And I think because really we have like just those four human characters, there's really not really much beyond that. The, you know, Rebecca Hall and the young girl, they're more like the sweet, just kind of mom daughter story. Yeah. I could really like whatever. Dan and Brian at least brought a lot of comedy chops.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was fun. I mean, right off the bat, in the first like 20 minutes, we have a scene for both Kong and Godzilla where they get to fight some creatures and show their, you know, strength.
Yeah.
It was just great to see Kong like rip this like wolf dog thing in half, and he's covered in green gook, and then at one point Godzilla fights this
spider creature,
yeah. crab thing, and him just blasting him with his
atomic breath,
you know,
and then he takes a nap in the Colosseum breath, which is great.
Adorable.
Yeah,
who ever thought that Godzilla would be as sweet? He looked like one of my cats crawling up to take a nap. I was,
he's
like,
just a big reptilian cat. He just wants a nap. Yeah. But
so sweet.
But we get to this.
We meet great, some new apes.
Yeah, we get some new. We finally get to see this Kong species, and you know, and I kind of like how I like the fact that they've been in Hollow Earth and a lot, and they haven't really kind of been part of like, even they're in a subterranean level of Hollow Earth. So because of that, they're like they look malnourished. They look very pale. You know, they remind me of the apes from Congo. The creepy ones that are like, you know,
there was a little male. Congo action, also a little reminded me of What's the time travel movie with Guy Pearce?
Oh, yeah, it's the Time Machine. The Time Machine with the
Time Machine. You know, like the Time Machine. There's the people below there.
Yeah, the Morlocks. And
that was very much the thing. Is, you know, Kong himself. He's very built. You know, I will say he's more filled out. A lot of these apes are more lengthy or different sizes.
Yeah, they're skinny.
Skinny or dark orange. A little more orangutan looking in some ways. Not to the point like they're very full, because orangutans usually are pretty more heavy in their build. But we first meet this, you know, young Kong character. And he's, you know, the small guy, and he, you know, there's this great kind of like, it's not father and son, but it's almost like the new guy in town kind of taking this little ape under his wing. But this little ape has been used to the tyranny of his situation, and Kong, you know, could easily kill this little guy, but he decides to, you know, all right, show me where you're from. And we meet all these apes, yeah, in this kind of really cool setting. It's like underground lair with all these, like, you know, it's fire and brimstone and all these rocks. And they're clearly have to, you know, slave away for this Scar King. So we meet Scar King, who is the big bad of this film. And I gotta say, Scar King was pretty cool. I mean, it's definitely after Mechagodzilla and, you know, Ghidorah and other things, it's like, okay, now we have more of a Kong-based villain.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is he has this kind of a, almost like a skeleton tail whip thing.
Yeah.
And attached to it is this like crystal that controls this big frost titan, Shimu, who is basically chained and imprisoned and at the beck and call of Scar King. So, you know, Kong, he gets his hand frozen attempting to fight Scar King, and that's when it's like, okay, Kong's injured, this guy means business, he also has a giant frost-breathed titan, you know, so he's gotta call up his old buddy. And at first, the first thing that was funny was, they're like, oh, Kong's injured, well, do we have anything that can fix it? Well, there was that old prototype that they had, you know. The thing is, these movies are not taking place in like 2080, It's like modern day,
yeah.
But this modern company has happened to make the most advanced technological things ever built, and they built Kong years ago. It's just been stuck in this like wall over here, basically his like Thanos glove. It's this giant, you know, metal glove thing that attaches to him, so he has like super strong Thanos punch, and it helps his, you know, arm heal. So he goes to talk to Godzilla. And of course, Godzilla has been actually... Godzilla senses that there is a threat coming. So he actually goes to a certain Titan lair. It was so cheesy. This was like, some of the dialogue was so dumb, but there was a point where I think the name of the Titan was like Timu or something.
Tiamatu or something, like, yeah. Tiamat.
Godzilla's going to Timu's domain. Oh, Godzilla's going to Timu's lair. So Godzilla fights this kind of snake, sea snake looking thing, kills it, and is charging up. And yes, when people saw the trailers, they were like, why Godzilla doesn't turn pink? How do you even know what's happening in the movie? They're not making
Godzilla's
it pink
not
to
real.
Show that Godzilla's
okay,
in...
relax. Yeah.
How
do you know?
Maybe Godzilla's
you know
in his Barbie era. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
He's a Barbie girl, been, for all you know.
Barbiezilla. That would be great if they tied that together.
It's just, you know, he just like in previous movies, he goes to an area that has a lot of atomic energy, and he sucks that up so that he'll be supercharged. So right now he has this pink stuff. That's the only difference. It's like, and actually, because this film is very 80s vibe, it has kind of with like some of the music and everything, it fits. Like, it's very colorful and eye popping.
Yeah.
But Kong goes up to try to talk to Godzilla, and of course Godzilla's like, what the hell are you doing here? It was actually a great shot. You see Kong by the pyramids, and he's like looking over, and they see Godzilla like across the water.
Yeah, he's over in Gibraltar. He's over in Gibraltar.
Gibraltar, right? They do this shot where you see Godzilla look over, and he's pissed, and like the music cuts out, and he just like slow dives in the water. I was laughing so hard. Like, he just jumps off this rock and, like, dives.
I just stuck
it all, like, comes over.
He's like the Grinch when he does that little dive into the chimney.
Yeah, exactly. And it was so funny. You could tell the way they animated Kong. Like, he's like, hey, I'm just here to talk. Like, you know, it was clearly like, I'm not here to fight. And Godzilla's like pissed because he's like, why are you in my territory?
Yeah.
So we have this great, cool kind of mini fight sequence between Godzilla and Kong. But the only thing that's going to stop it is we have a little bit of a callback. It's actually kind of a cool tie-in because they didn't have this in any of the trailers. There's actually a shot in the trailer that was not the finished shot in the movie. But our humans basically discover among this tribe down in Hollow Earth, they find basically the kind of cocoon, if you will, of Mothra. They release Mothra, and Mothra, who's basically in charge of also protecting Hollow Earth and all that stuff, basically is like, yo, don't fight.
Yeah.
And so there's actually, I love that shot. It was really cool. It's like Godzilla on one side, Kong on the other, the pyramids, and then Mothra's like in the air.
Titan Jesus.
It's like, okay, you gotta work together, pal.
Yep.
You gotta work together. So yes, they go back down to Hollow Earth, and we have this huge showdown that starts in Hollow Earth, and then we'll go back to the surface. But you have Shimu, and it's kind of cool. Scar King like rides him, like he's like a mount.
Yeah.
And so it's the two of them fighting Kong and Godzilla, and that moment in the trailer where you see them like running, that was like what it led to this big battle. What I think Adam Wingard did so well is he knew his audience. He knew we've been building up these moments in these movies to have just like a lot of Titan fun. And there was a shot where all four of them are like leaping towards each other and it's slow motion. And he does a slow motion shot of each of the four Titans. And I mean, I'll tell you, I was in a full audience on opening night. The place was roaring. Oh, I mean, we were applauding. We were laughing. It was just epic. I mean, even earlier, Godzilla and Kong, at one point, Godzilla picks up Kong and full on like, wrestle move, picks him all the way up in the air and slams him on the ground. I mean, it was wild. The fighting was so worth it. It's like the human stuff is dumb. The dialogue is dumb. But who cares? The four of these things fighting each other was epic.
It was well worth the for this climactic battle. And of course, you get this great stuff where they're like messing with the gravity in Hollow Earth. So they're like fighting off of rocks and stuff. And yeah, I mean, finally we get, of all these Monsterverse films, we have not had a battle with this many Titans. And basically, like, it was like a Super Smash Brothers of Titan brawls. Like, let's just, how many people, you know, fight?
Mm-hmm.
And we eventually, our four main Titans end up on Earth. And so Scar King's like, yes, I'm going to take over. And there's this whole like fight for, like, you know, talk about Thanos glove, fighting for the glove, fighting for Scar King's, you know, dagger to get get control of Shimu. And
yeah, which we knew that was going to be, it was a little predictable. Yeah. It was like, oh, this is very much, you know, he's maybe a slave to Scar King. So once that is released at some point, he's going to turn on Scar King. But it was a great moment to have, again, the progression of where he starts in the film, this little kind of mini Kong, you know, the mini ape. He's kind of a nuisance at first to Kong. And then as he's taken under his wing and he sees that Kong stands up for these people, you know, Kong has his cool axe from the previous movie. Mm-hmm. Well, when he's sucked up into Earth through the portal, the axe gets stuck on the side. This was so cool that this little mini picks up the axe. It has this epic slow-mo motion where he basically chops the little ice crystal in half, and all of a sudden Shimu's like, huh? Like,
yeah, woke
and
up.
He knows he's effed at that point. I mean, yeah, Scar King, they did. I loved it because, like, with Godzilla, they could have, you know, he does blast him at one point with some of his
atomic breath, but he's so fast that he keeps missing him because he's like, you know,
yeah, because Scar King is just lanky. But it was such a cool moment to have Shimu, frost breath, Scar King, so he's fully frozen. You feel his eyes are like kind of moving,
yeah.
And then Kong just picks him up, slams him on the ground, and his body just disintegrates. It was so, and it was just like epic. And now Shimu's kind of like, oh, there was actually a cute moment where you see him like look up and it's like, this Titan hasn't seen the sun in probably like centuries.
Yeah. And it's, I'm not white because it's frost. He's like, I've just not seen the sun.
Yeah. Like, he's like, it's been, I'm usually tan.
It's been years. I'm free. I'm free.
Now, the one thing they do this, they did this in the last movie too. They do this in a couple now where it's like they have these cave paintings or like they have, you know, they go to like the tribe in the Hollow Earth and there's a whole room that has like wall carvings. And it's like, oh, at one point there was Godzilla fighting this and then Kong fought this. And then I'm like, why is it every time we have this movie, it's like it predicts what's already going to happen. I mean, I don't need to know this maybe happened centuries ago. It's going to happen again. But of course, this movie is doing very well. Mm-hmm. It's currently, you know, made $80 million opening weekend domestic. It's like already close to $200 million worldwide. So we know we're going to get another one. I think because they need to focus more on Godzilla this time. Godzilla had a fair amount to do, but it was definitely Kong's movie. I think if they're not going to do more with Hollow Earth or explore more with Hollow Earth right now, I think maybe it's time we have some threats from outer space. Yes. Because Godzilla has had many threats from outer space over the, you know, decades of Godzilla films and video games and everything. So, of course, I'm curious to see where they're going to go. But this is not the end for our MonsterVerse. I mean, this film was just so much fun. Like, you'll watch it and go, was it dumb? Yes. Was the dialogue dumb? Yes. Did I laugh a lot? Yes. And did I cheer a lot? Yes.
And I mean, that's how we felt when we saw the last Fast and the Furious movie. You just know what you're going to get in these films.
Yeah. The thing is, so many people bag on that movie.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if I rewatched it by myself, I probably wouldn't have the same experience. But when you and I saw Fast 10 in the theaters, we were laughing our asses off like the whole movie. And I've heard that 11 is supposed to go a little more down. I think what's good about this series is like they're taking audience feedback and they're giving us what we want.
Yeah.
They're not like trying to go one way or the other.
I think that's a great thing about the MonsterVerse, that it's constantly evolved. I mean, we've got now two television series, all these films. There's so many avenues this can go, and this is something that could go on for a while. That the nice thing about this kind of verse versus, you know, DC or MCU, what's great about this is you can kind of continue the story, create new things. There's so much you can do with this. And yeah, but I really enjoyed this. I'm glad that we checked this film out. Definitely whether you're first time the entry, which you shouldn't be by now because you'd be like, you know, what's going on? But whether it's the first time in the entry or you've been following the MonsterVerse since Godzilla in 2014, definitely a great entry. I'm going to give this a good solid 8.5 out of 10 because it delivers what you expect. And I definitely would want to see this again in theaters. Just such a good, loud, messy time with Titans fighting it up.
Yeah, this is an 8.5 out of 10. This is a blast. This needs to be seen. Preferably on IMAX if you can, or at least a very big screen with a lot of sound, because you're going to have a ball with just everything in this film. Like, yes, I personally could have done with a little less human stuff, because I don't really care about the human stuff, but at least there's some good humor with Dan Stevens and Brian Tyree Henry. And yeah, I'm excited to see where they go from here. I mean, there's so many possibilities with characters, and I think Godzilla and Kong will team up again in the future for more Monster Mayhem. So you can still go check out Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, now playing in theaters. And that was this edition of Potential Picks.
Thanks for listening to The Potential Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Potential Podcast, or on Twitter at The Potential Pod.
Or you can email us. Send us your positive feedback and thoughts, suggestions, and more through our email, ThePotentialPodcast@yahoo.com.
I'm your host, Chris Dewar.
And I'm your host, Taylor Sokol.
Stay tuned for more episodes on pop culture,
entertainment,
and nerdom. And remember,
know your potential.